This is Will's Band of the Week for February 7th, 2021. And welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am. Happy New Year, everyone.
We haven't been in touch with the Ipswich Bureau for a few weeks.
That's it. I stood out of the year-end wrap-up in December. I didn't really have a top 10, and so I was absent then. And February already, making my first appearance of the year.
So I was thinking, yeah, it's been a while, but then it is only early February, so it's not like, you know, you went half a year or something.
And the releases in January are a bit spotty, aren't they? Things really starting to get going now, I think, as we go into February and March, more and more things coming. There's not, January's, you're kind of catching up on the previous year a bit still.
Right. And there, I'm not sure, I guess we could discuss this in the context of the specific releases, but it seems like either people figured out a way to record during the pandemic or they had recordings all ready to roll, you know, that were already done. Must be a combination of those, but there are a pretty decent number of releases coming out, so that's good.
Yeah, I was thinking the January release is an interesting one because the cliche is, you know, you mustn't have journalists still do it, obviously, even though they shouldn't. They say one of the albums of the year, even though it's only January. You have to say that at the end, even though it's,
right.
And so you think if you were the band, there's upsides and downsides. The upside is there aren't many other releases at this time of year, and you're more likely to get noticed because people, music listeners, are looking for their first thing of the year. But then there's the sticking in the mind thing. By the time it gets to October, do you really remember what happened in January? I for one don't. So that's the downside, I think.
Right. Yeah. I wonder what the industry viewpoint is on the ideal time of year to release an album. There probably is something like that. Maybe June or something like that, right in the heart of the year.
Yeah, whatever Taylor Swift's doing, you have to think her management have determined that must be the ideal time.
Yeah.
So we can just observe that. Or Justin Bieber, I guess he's as big as it gets.
Yeah. Is he still, though? It's hard to know. It's hard to track the fame of music artists.
We wouldn't be the, well, I wouldn't be the right person to ask. I won't speak for you, Will.
Well, you know, here's another example of that. Remember a few years ago, there was this kind of mysterious indie rocker guy who called himself The Weeknd, like weekend without an E in it, at the end. And somehow he just sort of crept up, and I guess he's been slowly getting more and more famous. And the other day I was having a conversation with somebody about, I wonder who the Super Bowl halftime show performer is this year. And, you know, it's usually somebody just really huge, you know, Paul McCartney and U2 and Springsteen and, you know, various pop stars and everything. And I didn't know who it was. So after this conversation, I looked it up. The Weeknd is in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl halftime. That's what? 100 million people watching or something?
Doesn't get bigger.
It's just bizarre. But it's another indication that we are completely out of touch with pop culture, and that's why we don't have very many listeners, right? So that's the way it goes. Yeah, so we started talking about this before we started recording. I'm sitting here in Fourth Bedroom Studios. Right outside the window, it's 3 degrees Fahrenheit. That's negative 16 Celsius. It's a bit on the cool side. And later in the week, tonight, it's going to be down to 11 below zero Fahrenheit. That's negative 24 Celsius. So I bet it doesn't get that cold where you are ever, right?
No way. Impossible. I bought my grandfather a book once which was the record weather on every day of the year for the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had that book here, I could tell you what the record low temperature is for February 6th, but it certainly wouldn't be that. So minus 10, I guess, would be the absolute all-time, I'm guessing, for today, probably.
So in a typical winter, would you get maybe the occasional 0 Celsius, something like that?
Occasional minus 4, I think.
Okay.
Celsius. Yeah.
A little bit of frost.
Yeah, I think next week it's going to be minus 4, maybe. There's some weather coming in from the east. But average, zero, minus 1, that sort of thing would be the average cold day, I would say, for January and February.
I think when I was in the first trip that we took maybe 2.5 years ago to Glasgow, they had just been in a record heat. But got up to, I think, maybe 92 Fahrenheit, which was like all-time records, which, again, I don't know what the calculation is there, Celsius, but it's hot.
About 35, isn't it? Yeah, I think.
Probably. Yeah. Well, anyway, there you go. Weather update. And let's see, maybe, last week we were talking to Nicholas and we did a coronavirus update without playing the jingle, and I felt like that was a great disservice, so we better play it now.
It's time for the very serious Corona Report. My Corona.
If we had Nicholas here, we could do the Australian update. I think they have like 5 cases or something.
There's a tennis tournament, the Australian Open tennis in Melbourne.
Right. Yeah, I think my reporting on that was a bit inaccurate, I think. Because when my friend was telling me about it, I thought it was actually going on, but it was actually all the players, they had them quarantine when they got there and they were taking extreme precautions. And then wasn't there a report that somebody tested positive? I think somebody did, but I think they're still going to have the tournament and have people in the stands not wearing masks.
Mm, seems impossible here.
It does, yeah. Yeah. So I think our Brighton Music Festival in May is not likely to happen, is it?
No, there's a headline in the British newspapers today saying the pubs may open in April. Like, pubs could open in April, but they won't have any beer. No beer. So if that's going to be April, goodness knows, May and June aren't looking great either.
Pubs open with no beer?
Food only. They think the alcohol drinking makes people act a little bit less responsibly. They forget the social distancing and the mask and the stuff. So they're thinking we can't be having alcohol, apparently.
It could be a valid point, but it also kind of defeats the purpose of a pub, you know?
Yeah, so someone said a swimming pool's going to open with no water.
Yeah, you just walk along the bottom of the pool, socialize.
Just one of those funny quips you get on social media sometimes. It's quite good, I thought.
Yeah. Well,
We're in absolute lockdown again, third time.
Well, America doesn't do lockdowns. It's against our personal freedoms. So we would rather have the virus spread like crazy. But it has been going down, and probably some of that because of the vaccines, I should say. But they're worried about the variants making it ramp up again. So time will tell. Hopefully on a general good direction.
I hope so. I can't take much more of this. Well, yeah. I suppose I could, but, it's annoying. It's bad.
Right. Now we know we can do it because we've done it for almost a year, but we don't really want to do it anymore.
No. Right.
Okay. When they find the zip drive in 300 years containing this podcast in a mound of dirt, they'll be able to say, wow, those guys were talking about that year 2020 and 2021 pandemic. Great historical thing. Hopefully it'll be a long distant memory at some point.
Yeah. Doesn't ever feel like that will be the case, but surely it will.
Yep. Well, we have a lot of good music this week and pretty fun, right?
Yeah. I think I did my most comprehensive journalism ever. So now I've said that, there's going to be mistakes aplenty. I shouldn't build myself up. But I had time to research because there's nothing else to do. So it's quite good in a way.
Yeah, well, good. But then you can make up for my lack of research. I did a little bit. so I'm not completely in the dark. So should we start rolling? I don't think there's a death of the week, right? I don't think any, since Phil Spector, there haven't been any huge music world deaths. There was one person, there was one band member of a famous band. No, I forgot now. I was thinking the other day, like, it's even a worse disservice to the person, like, than, playing the jingle or whatever. If you say, yeah, somebody died, but I forgot who it was, so I guess, can imagine, like, if you die and then somebody says that, right? They're like, I think somebody died, but I forgot, so you're completely forgotten at that point.
Here we go. This may be the one you were thinking of. Hilton Valentine, guitarist with the Animals, dies age 77.
That's what I was thinking of. Yep.
Yeah. House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah. But you never, like, I didn't know that name, like, I would not have recognized that name because it's the singer, right? Now, I'm going to put myself on the spot. Eric Burdon? Is that the guy's name?
Oh, I have no idea.
I'm looking it up now.
One of the most famous opening riffs in 1960s pop music, according to the BBC. House of the Rising Sun.
I got it right. It was Eric Burdon. I could have won the trivia contest. So, yep. All right. Let's move on to living musicians. And I guess, should we start with Still Corners?
Let's do that. Sounds good.
All right. Well, you nominated them, so take it away.
I'm in the hot seat. Yeah, if you nominate the band, then you better be ready.
Right.
To talk about them. Now, what happened here? It was 2013 in July. We went to the Indie Tracks Festival, which I have talked about before on the Will's Band podcast. And they were headlining on a Sunday night, I think. I mean, I just really enjoyed it. I think they had two albums out by then, Still Corners. And I thought, well, I've enjoyed this so much. I'm definitely going to make sure I follow them from now on and, you know, try and see them again, certainly. Next thing I know, it's January 2021. They're on their fifth album, and I haven't seen or heard of them anywhere since. So it's a bit funny, but it was that thing where I said it's the start of the year. Not much else going on. We're in total lockdown. So I thought, oh, I'll just take a listen. And, I enjoyed it enough to put it forward for the podcast. So that's how we come to be talking about it now. Fifth album, The Last Exit.
I remember listening to them also way back, maybe even before 2013. I think the online radio station WOXY used to play them. And I remember liking them. And then kind of a similar thing where I kind of just forgot about them for several years. So yeah, they're back.
Yes, formed this is the thing. Are they really from London? Originally, that's where they started, but they live in Woodstock, New York now. So I don't know to say if they're, are they from New York? or are they from the UK? They're British. No, one of them is American, I think. So anyway, it's a very confusing situation. Two members, Tessa Murray and Greg Hughes, they're friends. I did some journalism. They aren't romantically linked, which is obviously perfectly fine. But it's strange they always move around together. They both move to New York, so I think that's a little bit unusual, but they're really committed to the band, and they just go wherever the other one goes.
When I read that they lived in Woodstock, I didn't do a lot of journalism, but there was some reference to Woodstock being this artsy community with a lot of, you know, musicians and other artists living there, which I didn't even know. It's just a small town, right? It just happens to be where the famous festival was.
Yeah. I think it's the kind of place I might like to live, actually. I was just reading a little bit about it. It sounds just low-key, you know, away from all the buzz and the trouble. Just a laid-back sort of place, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, should we start with a track, then?
Yeah. Should I? That's good. And then we can bring in some other themes. Well, I've actually written down, you see.
You are totally prepared.
The guitarist is Greg Hughes. And one of the things we often say is, we say, oh, this album has lots of this. And then we pick a track which doesn't have it.
Right.
So I've actually written down in brackets here to make sure I pick a track that has a sampling of the thing. So the guitar sound, which we'll come to talk about a little bit more, is something which you have to notice. So you can't really avoid noticing on this album. And I picked a track which has Greg Hughes' guitar there very prominently, I thought. So track 5, A Kiss Before Dying.
A
this before. We both die. It's all over now. Don't you cry. We're waiting for the sun to rise. We'll light and dark meet at the great divide.
Corners. Yep, distinctive guitar. So that's a lot of tremolo and reverb.
Yeah, and then I was doing my music journalism, and emerges the guitarist is very much inspired by this guy called Jimmy Wilsey. And I didn't really know who that was, but there's an article, his obituary was in Rolling Stone magazine. He was the guitarist for Chris Isaak.
That's a tie-in.
Uh-huh. And then I thought, well, no wonder I like it, because when I lived at home with my parents, my dad and I would often listen to the best of Chris Isaak. Really, there's two. I mean, I was younger then, and I can't claim to be an aficionado of his material, but there's two songs, really, that I thought were good. Blue Hotel and then, of course, Wicked Game. That was track one on the best of, as you'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a fan of that, it's no surprise then that I really like the guitar on this Still Corners album.
Yeah, there's a similarity there, definitely. Should we play some of the Chris Isaak track?
Yeah, I think we should have a bit of Wicked Game, because one of my favourite songs ever, and any chance to play it on the podcast should be taken probably.
Isaak, you know, you definitely did your music journalism there, because the sound of that and the sound of the Still Corners song you chose are like exactly the same, right? Stylistically.
It shows what I'm capable of when I actually do my research. So yeah, I have to say I'm pretty impressed with that.
Yeah. Now, why is it that sound is associated with a desert climate. Like, don't you picture like dusty and windy, a horse maybe? Maybe that music got used in Western films or something, but there's something about it that always makes me think of that sort of scene.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. It does the same for me, and all the journalists who've written about this album, Still Corners, also say it's like desert noir. I don't know if the band put that on the press release. Sometimes if you see the same thing repeated and repeated, it's because... But it definitely is true anyway, wherever it comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of twanging tremolo, as you said.
Yeah. Well, I'll pick a track. I had it down to a couple. I think I'll pick the one that's more in contrast, I think, to the one you picked. A little more poppy type sound, but it's catchy. Number 3, White Sands. Kind of the same guitar style there, but in a little more upbeat context, but still sounds great.
Yeah, that was one of my three picks too. So we're on the same page there. That was when it got to that's track 3 on the record, as you said, and then when it gets to that, you really feel like things are developing nicely. It's good.
Yep, from Woodstock. Well, from Woodstock, like you said, where are they actually from? They like to travel.
Yeah. One of those things. I guess it's about it's all about some records are good because they're exciting and thrashy and loud, and some are good because there's the textures and the instrumentation and the warmth of the sound. This is one of those latter ones, I would say. It's just quite pleasant to listen to.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. Well, the album is called The Last Exit. You probably mentioned that already, but we'll reiterate that. Still Corners is the band, and let's play another track.
Here we go. My third one on my list here. We had 3, we've had 5, and now let's have number 7, Mystery Road.
City behind me, I was driving.
Still corners.
Yeah, good stuff. It got me to thinking about the classic. I think we talked about this in our behind the scenes conversations a little bit recently. The classic song by the Triffids, "Long Winding Road." That both your pick and that other one that's called "Mystery Road." Okay, so that's quite obvious in a way. But it's just something about the open space of the desert on this album, like you said, and just that maybe that fits with how people are feeling at the moment. A little bit, I don't know, lost in the wilderness at this strange time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the album definitely has like a thematic, and people can figure that out from the three tracks we played. But the whole thing is sort of a similar theme. So it's a good thing to just put on if you like that theme, right?
Yeah, I think so. They've announced some shows. In my heart of hearts, I don't think it's going to happen, but for the autumn, and they're playing in Athens, Greece, on a Sunday. And somewhere I've really wanted to visit for a long time. So if travel is possible again by then, and I could certainly see myself going over for that. So let's see. Hope so.
All right. Well, we're one for one. I don't know if we're going to be able to keep the streak going, but we're going to try. all right. Let's talk about Goat Girl from London. You know, we never talk about the bands from London playing at your backyard barbecues. But, you know, you're only, what, an hour by train from London, right?
That's correct, yeah. 70 miles.
So, I mean, come on, right? That would be so easy to get on a train and hang out with Craig. So let's start encouraging that.
Not a big barbecuer, but I have to think of something kind of Ipswich equivalent. What do you do in the rain in England that you would do in Australia in the sun? A couple of cans of beer in the living room or something would be okay.
All right, yeah, it could be a living room beer gathering rather than
tea,
a barbecue.
Of course, British people, and even on this album from Goat Girl, there's a track which has tea in the title, which I was very pleased with.
Right. Yeah, so
cup
you
of
could
tea in the Ipswich bureau front room.
All right, we'll have to work on that. This is their second album. I remember listening to the first one, thinking it was kind of rough around the edges and kind of but intriguing. Sort of liked about half of it, and then so I was very interested for this album when I heard it was coming out. It's kind of. Should I describe it and then get it wrong to live up to the theme?
Go on. I think you've got to now.
It's a little,
expect great things from you.
It's a little downcast, and I think that's maybe part of why I like it. I have a comparison, but maybe we should play a track before we do that. One of the things I like about it is how they mix keyboard and synthesizer parts with guitar parts. And the mix of that is very interesting to me on this album. So, let's just play a track. And I'm going to be unambitious and play one of the tracks they released early as a single. But I think it's a really good illustration of what the album sounds like. The album is called On All Fours. And I'm going to play number 6, Sad Cowboy.
Starts anew.
That's Goat Girl. And the song takes an interesting turn halfway through that I didn't get up to with that segment. But another thing I like about the album is that the songs take some twists and turns. So if we were to play the Barrett game of what does that sound like, do you have anything?
Well, I know I can hear the Nitro twang guitar again.
There was a little bit of that. Yeah, yeah.
And it's Sad Cowboy as well. So again, the desert.
Yeah, so
that's what you're going for.
I kind of accidentally came across that transition from the last album. So not due to any actual planning.
Do I know what it sounds like? I'm going to say no to put listeners out of the misery of me trying to guess.
So the singer has this great kind of, I don't want to say low voice, but it's got a great just sound to it. And that, along with the somewhat downcast nature of it, reminds me a little bit of my favorite album from last year, Porridge Radio. Although it's not as, I would say, outwardly dramatic. It's a little more subtle in its how it comes across. But yeah, I think there's a little similarity there.
Yeah, you almost want to call it slowcore or something. It's deliberately subdued. I know what you mean. Yeah, it does make sense.
So you said on first listen you weren't sure if you're going to really connect with this. So I don't know if you ever did or if you want to make a pick or whatever.
Yeah, I started to get on with it a little bit better. I think part of the thing is the length. It's 54 minutes.
Yeah, it's longer than it doesn't need to be that long. Like, rarely does an album need to be 54 minutes, but this one could have been about 38 would be perfect.
Yeah, and as you were saying, Will, it's the songs take different turns, don't they? So I just think it's a fact that you won't pick up on all of that the first run through. And so I think that's why I was a little bit bewildered by it the first time. But I did start to get on with it a little bit better, and I had four picks. You chose one of them, so we're in agreement there. But I have some others, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so now you got to make the call.
Oof, three remaining. Well, I was singing this one in my head earlier. Come on, let's go for it. Number 10, They Bite On You. It's stuck in my mind, so it must be catchy.
Goat Girl. Some of the songs are a little more upbeat, and others are sort of slow and brooding. And I think overall it's a good combination.
Yeah. So again, that song started in one way and changed into something else quite quickly. And then some of the songs have the last 2 or 3 minutes is something quite different. So it definitely has those different elements there.
Right. So I was going to pick a slower brooding one for the next one, but since you did, let's go back to a little more poppy track. Let's play number two, Body Baba. That gave a good example of how the synthesizer works in with everything. And I kind of wonder when they're playing these songs live and the synthesizer parts are so rhythmic, and I wonder if it's challenging to sort of coordinate everything. Because, you know, it's not like they're turning on a drum program and everything's synced together. So, of course, I guess maybe it's something that they could actually play it manually. It sounds so, it almost sounds like it's programmed and it's everything's coordinated together. Anyway, I don't know. I didn't say that very, very articulately, but, I think that they're not really a guitar band and not really a synth band, and they really, mix them together really well. And I feel like I'm not sure if we did it justice, because there's so much on this album. And, so anyway, I guess we'll call it a teaser. If people had a tendency to like what we played, then give the rest of it a listen. And like we said, it doesn't really need to be 55 minutes long or whatever, but pretty adventurous and interesting for the whole thing, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a step up from the previous one. It's interesting enough that I'd actually listened to it where I couldn't get on board with their first album, really. It's good, a step forward. And I think it's so thick with instrumentation, as you've been saying, really, just putting what you're saying to different words. It's very interesting. So, you've got to hang on for those... the latter parts of the songs.
Yep. All right. That's two. But wait, there's more. Because we tend to not stop after two. You know, it's really, Will's three bands of the week, mostly, right? That's a clumsy title.
Yep.
It's a clumsy title, but our podcast has had a clumsy title for forever. So we're just going to keep our clumsy title. The No Twist from Germany.
This is their 10th album. Can you believe it? Indie rock veterans.
You know, I knew they were indie rock veterans, and I've probably listened to three of them, maybe. I didn't know there were 10. Didn't they form in 1983 or something like that? Again, should check my music journalism, but that's what I'm remembering. It's they've been around a long time. And I did watch a live clip of them. That was the music journalism I did this week. And it looked really cool. A lot of electronics and mixers and a lot of technology. But it's just, yeah. And like, well, we were talking beforehand. It just kind of sounds like a German band, right?
Yeah, I just think I was saying, you know, it's so cool. What's not to like? They're from Germany. And then, so that's a really cool start already. And yeah, it just has that kind of coolness about it. And it, some synthesizer elements, like electro elements, which you kind of associate with German music, I guess.
Right. There's something, whether you call it krautrock or whatever, something kind of mechanical. But, you know, it's like there's a mechanical underpinning, but then there's a lot of like heart over that. How does that sound for a description?
Pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely some lo-fi indie. I can't really think of a similar. Anyway, perhaps we'll play some and the listeners can decide who it sounds like. Like those plaintive kind of maudlin indie pop. And there's also some electro stuff. So it's a nice mixed bag. Very fun.
Yeah. So, well, I think there was a track that I thought we definitely should feature. And that's number two. And that's a track that, actually, there's a slash in there, Into Love, and then a slash, Stars. So they're kind of like double titling it because it takes a bit of a turn in the middle, I guess. So I think you have to get to that part where it switches over to the other section, which is really cool. So I'm going to fade this one in about 2 minutes.
Now that you know how much it hurts, won't save you from falling into love again. Now the stars can't fall for us. I know the stars can't fall for us. Stars can fall for us. I know the stars can fall for us.
The No Twist, the new album is called Vertigo Days.
Yeah, it's a good idea to come in partway through that one. That's really interesting when it takes that turn there.
Yeah, the drum machine rises from underneath and it just blossoms into this other part, which is cool.
Yeah, I really like this quite a bit. I think I'm going to, even though my journalism's done after this episode of the podcast, I'm going to listen to this again and see. Yeah, it's definitely a lot to get into.
Yeah, definitely. Well, how about a pick?
I have a record number of 6 picks on my list here. one of them was not yours, so I got a lot to choose from.
Oh, wow.
One, I had if I think something's particularly podcast worthy, I give it a few stars on my notes, and that's what I've done for this. So I must have thought this is particularly worth picking. Number 10, Sans Soleil.
From this room into the dark, I knew right from the start. No one will I find here, but I know I'm not alone on a planet that you call home. And my feet are stuck in stone. Step I roam, the planet that you call home. No more run away, no more run away from now. No more run away from here. No more run away.
Yep, I agree with that pick. That was on my short list also.
Yeah, I guess something like Animal Collective or something, a little bit like that. It reminds me a little bit sort of North American kind of indie sound of the early 2000s sort of thing. Yeah, very nice.
Right, that one is like one of the most outwardly sort of indie poppy, right? Which can never go wrong with indie poppy. Well,
yes, on an album where there's all kinds of different things, I've picked the most. Anyway, but people need a little to be eased into things a little bit before they hear the weirdness.
Yeah. Well, I've got one that I can pick. Hopefully, it's in one of your six. But
I'll be sure to tell you.
It's number six, Loose Ends, and I'm going to let this play a little longer because it has a cool part that takes a while to develop. So here we go.
Bringing me back. rest of me, the rails, hey rails, please pray me
No twist. So I guess that was probably the most introspective, maybe, song. I don't know how representative it is of the whole album, but I thought it was great.
Yeah, it just works in place. One of the problems when we, you know, with the podcast is we're picking bits and pieces from throughout, aren't we, to give the listeners a sampling. But
yeah,
when you hear that song in the pattern of the album, it just works really well. Good to know that albums are still, in an era when you could just go online and listen to any song anytime, it's nice that people are still making albums as wholes, the good musicians.
Right. Yeah, and we're still album focused. And
we definitely are. We try to avoid picking the singles and the track one. Always frowned upon to pick track one.
Yeah, and I don't know if are we a dying breed of album fans? I mean, everything still gets released as albums. Well, not everything, but I mean, it's still a popular thing to do. So there must be younger people who are still listening to albums, whole albums.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to say, but you know, one thing that does occur to me on a streaming service, like I use Spotify, for example, you put on one album to play. When it gets to the end, it just goes off on its own and picks something else you've listened to before or something else which is related. And I wonder if people listen to music that way these days quite often, you know, just let the streaming service pick the next thing for them. So in a way, the album then becomes kind of not so meaningful because you just got tracks coming in from all different things.
Yeah, you should be able to set your streaming service so that it only plays full albums. Album mode or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. Music nerd.
Yeah. Well, I think the No Twist is a cool band. And again, like all of these bands, I keep thinking, just because of the times we're in, you know, I keep thinking, oh man, to see them live would be so cool. Maybe someday.
Yeah, I'd like to for sure. I don't know how often they play even. I can imagine. I just imagine them being the kind of band that doesn't really play and they're just too introspective and hermetical.
Don't they?
Hopefully that's not the case. I'm just imagining that. It could be completely false.
And they sound like a band that would play at a big theater or something just because their sound is kind of big. You don't. You can't. It's hard to picture the No Twist playing at the Smokehouse, right?
Yeah, I don't think that would work. They wouldn't get all the gear in there.
I was going to say that it would fill half the room, just all their gear. But then again, it would be really cool. So never say never.
Did we say what the album's called? Vertigo Days, in case we didn't. I forget.
I did mention it briefly, but good to reiterate. Yep, and this is 49 minutes, and it's a pretty legit 49 minutes, right?
Yeah, I guess it's a bit unfair to criticize Goat Girl for doing one thing and then saying this, you know, this is okay. But yeah, maybe 50 minutes is okay if you in these times, nothing really else for people to do. So putting on a long record sitting at home is probably okay.
Yeah, we can agree the double album that's an hour and a half is probably too much. But
what was it, that band Besnard Lakes where we were talking in pre-production?
Right.
And how long did I say it was? Something like something like 70 minutes and 6 tracks or something. Well, I can't remember now. Anyway.
Yeah, and you know, that's a band, the Besnard Lakes. They always come up on my list of I should listen to them. And I think I've tried 2 or 3 times in the past. I just can't get to a point where I'm really interested, even though I think maybe I should like them. But I don't know. I guess it's like everyone has those things. Like there's an entry point where you sample the band's music, and there can be a fine line of does it draw you in to listen again, or does it not quite get there? That I've never quite gotten there. Anybody out there who has listened to a Besnard Lakes album can tell us. Have you, Craig?
No, I haven't. I guess everyone has a kind of thing that they like, don't they? So for me, if a band has that Dunedin sound, and I can pick that out on the first little sampling, then I'll probably go on and listen to them more. And if you're the kind of person who likes psychedelic post-rock 10-minute songs, then you're probably going to, a little sampling of Besnard Lakes would show you it's the kind of thing you like, so maybe you would go further with that. But no, I haven't yet. I'm going to listen to this new album and let you know what I think.
Sounds good. Yep, well, the releases are still coming, and we've had a little pre-production about going back into the vault again, too. So we'll keep the content coming, right?
Yeah, without giving too much away, I might be back in a few weeks with something very, very special discussion, but I'm not going to say any more for now.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, to get you back on that quickly takes a lot of behind-the-scenes negotiating and a lot of, you know, communication through our representatives, and you know, but we're gonna try to do it. I think Craig's making some demands that, you know, sweeten the deal, you know, with the studio and some stuff like that. So we'll work on it.
I'll let the people talk, and yeah, if I'm here again, the listeners know it worked out.
Right. Well, we did it. We went over an hour, and again, I think greater than $0. Don't you think?
3 for 3. Yeah, some really interesting stuff there. The listeners need to let us know if they, how many mistakes I made, and whether they agree with our representations of these bands. It'll be fun. It's always good to hear from the listeners.
Yeah, I think sometimes the listeners are too easy on us. Like I say something on the podcast, and then 2 days later I realize it was totally wrong, and nobody points out the error. Either because they're too nice, or maybe they just don't care. That's probably the real thing. No one cares.
Combination of the two, yeah.
Well, all right. Happy afternoon to you, Craig. And still morning here. And but we're still, you know, we recorded at a time when it's daylight for both of us, so that's good.
Just getting dark. Actually, it's a really cloudy day here. It's light until 4:30 now, but 4:15, and it's getting dark. It's very gray.
Yeah. I keep thinking we got to hold out until April. And even if there at least isn't another outbreak, which still could happen, but if it's still either going down or like a little better, and then the weather gets better, and then you can get outside more, and you still can, but, and there are people here, of course, who live in this climate who just basically thrive on it. They go out and cross-country ski and go out on the lakes that are frozen, and that's ideally what a person should do. But I'm kind of at the, I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, let's get this over with.
Yeah.
this deep freeze. So
the summer just makes everything so much easier, more enjoyable, I think. Just the lighter days and the warmer weather. Going to get there.
Right.
Well, we can do it. About 6 or 7 more weeks, yeah. And then it's going to be a big change, I think.
Yeah, and I'm still kind of sad that one of our favorite brew pubs that we used to occasionally stop at closed. They were a casualty of COVID. And I drove by there the other day, and you know, there's just a sign on it that says closed permanently, but the bars, they haven't like gutted the place or anything. I guess they don't have another renter yet. All the chairs are upside down in there, and the small patio on where we used to sometimes get together and have a beer is now a giant snowbank, like 5 feet high of piled snow. It's just sad.
Yeah, I mean, they're seeing those chairs upside down like that. That's quite a sad image, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and I keep thinking, you've got a place that's been operated for 5 or 6 years as a bar and a brew pub. They've got the tanks in there. They've got the bar. They've got everything. If they could just get another person to operate it as a similar business, it would be perfect. But I keep thinking, no, they're going to turn it into an office and just like destroy the whole thing. It would be even sadder. Oh, well. So, yep, that's where my mind goes in the middle of a harsh winter and a pandemic. But we'll get out of it soon, hopefully. Well, it's time to say good night to the listeners. Or good day, but good day just sounds awkward, so we're going to say good night. We will talk to everyone again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.